Translation. The Ayashvas understood the meaning of Narada's words as follows. The word bhu, the earth, refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is in his field of activities. Is his field of activities. And it gives him a false designation. Since time immemorial, he has received the various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage to the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look toward the cessation of this bondage, what would be the benefit of his actions? Purport. Narada Muni spoke to the Hayashras, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, about 10 allegorical subjects. The king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so forth. After considering these by themselves, the Hayashvas could understand that the living entity encaged in his body seeks happiness but takes no interest in how to become free from his encagement. This is a very important verse, since all the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification, and animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. Birds, beasts, and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of the soul encased within the body. Especially in the human form of body, one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from his encagement, but without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy Maya Sukha, flickering temporary happiness. They do not know how to become free from their material engagement. Rishabhadeva therefore said that such activity is not at all good, since it encages the soul again and again in a body subjected to the threefold miseries of the material condition. The Hariyashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, could immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for such enlightenment. We are trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to the understanding that they should work hard inter facia for self-realization and freedom from the continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, is very strong. She's expert in putting impediments in the way of this understanding. And therefore, sometimes one comes to the Krishna consciousness movement, but again falls into the clutches of Maya, not understanding the importance of this movement. So, Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha, we'll read about that towards the end of this particular chapter. And yesterday I was describing a little bit of the history. Of course, the devotees I read in the fourth canto and other places also about Daksha. And just to quickly reiterate, Daksha was a very exalted personality, and being the direct son of Lord Brahma, being born from the thumb of Lord Brahma as a Manasaputra, mind-born son of Lord Brahma, very exalted position, and he was appointed chief of the Prajapati. Prajapati means those who are entrusted to increase the population of the world. Increase. Daksha means one who is very expert at doing that. So we told about how Daksha performed austerities along with his wife to gain the Mahashakti, the Parashakti, as his daughter after Lord Brahma requested, and that they wanted that Lord Shiva be married, and I told that whole story yesterday. Finally she came, but she made a condition that if you ever insult me, then I'll give up this body. So it came to pass that Daksha organized that big yajna, and everyone attended. But he insulted Lord Shiva, and unfortunately it turned into a very unsavory incident. Later on, when Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, again wanted to come to a second yajna, then induction, and he just ignored her. And she also saw there was no respect, no seat, proper seat given to Lord Shiva, who was one of the principal devas of the universe. He's one of the principal, and not only Deva, but he is even above the devas. So she was very upset, and that she gave up that body, as I told that yesterday. And Lord Shiva became angry, and then he created that Virabhadra, and he devastated the whole area. Daksha himself lost his life, and Lord Shiva brought him back and gave him that goat's head. So he lived a long time with the goat's head. And I was saying yesterday that it appears that this incident of the Daksha Yagya happened in the Swayambhuva Manu period, and then now he's coming back again as the son of the Prachetas to their wife Marisha. And there's a whole Leela told there, Marisha, so, of that incident. And that was according to what I've read, that was in the next Mandanta, that was in the Chakshusha Mandanta, or even a few Mandantas, past the Swayambhuva Manu. So a long time in between, and now he's back, and he's been requested by Lord Brahma, again for population. So here we have the sons, 10,000 sons, they are Ayashras, and they went to the west. The father asked them, please beget a lot of children to increase the population. They thought, let us prepare ourselves, let us perform tapasya, let us get purified in consciousness. This is very intelligent. So they went to the Narayana Saras. And I told yesterday the story of Narayana Sarova in western India, right up in the corner there. There's Dwarka, and then just above, near the Pakistani border. And actually, one devotee who was serving us for breakfast, he lives, and he said that he grew up just 3 hours from that Narayana Saras. And as a young boy with his parents, he went to that holy place. And from there, he said, actually, you can see just the Pakistani border, so very close to the border there. It's a very holy place. And I told the story of how a long time before, in the Puranic period, there was a big drought, and the sages prayed to Lord Narayan, and he came there, and he was very pleased. He put his toe on the earth, and then big water came. And it became a big lake. So a very holy place. One who goes there and become very purified. So that was a very good choice. And actually Prabhupada mentions that still there are many who live there, very holy place. And when you go on the pilgrimage, it is considered one of the Panchasarovas, one of the five main holy lakes of the India. And they're in the different directions. In the middle also, Pushkar, another place you can go up there also. So you can, when you go traveling, perhaps when you go to Dwarka, you can go also there. And it's a very nice place. So they became very purified. They were, their determination was to follow the order of their father. And so as I mentioned yesterday, that they were very gentle boys and very obedient to their father. And so they went there, they became very pure. Narayana took advantage of their advanced consciousness, and now he was preaching to them about, well, your father may have said like that to go on with that, help populate everywhere and have a lot of children, but now you're very advanced, why go back into the family life and become entangled? Your consciousness is very advanced now. Go the other way, go for liberation. So we told all that yesterday. So let's bring those who weren't here, bringing everyone up to the present shlokas today. And so he gave, he started to speak to them and presenting a very allegorical, it was a very allegorical presentation. The Prabhupada gives a little bit of heat. Narada Muni, he said that 10 allegorical subjects actually, the king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements and so on, and as we go through this chapter, that is explained, Prabhupada in his third fourth elaborates what the meaning, but interestingly enough here, that the Haryashvas were very advanced, they immediately understood the meaning, the purport of what Narada Muni was saying. So this indicates that they are very intelligent because you know, we're reading it, and, you know, when I read what the 10 allegorical subjects and the points were, I was thinking, well, this is probably like this, this is probably like that, but actually some things weren't probably correct in my immediate understanding. So it appears that the Hayashas were far, far above my meager intelligence, because they understood immediately. They understood immediately. The father later on is explained as the Shastras, because father can be presented in so many different ways. But in this particular instance, later on is presented and is explained that the Shastras are like the father. They always give you good guidance and good advice and so on and so forth. And so the Hayashras understood that. Now, being the sons of Daksha, they would have already been very intelligent boys, and also trained very nicely. In the Vedic times, of course, there was Varna and there was Ashrama, someone who was born in the... Now, Daksha, as the son of the Prachetas, he was born in the Chakya line. Formerly, you could say he was Brahmana, being directly the son of Lord Brahma. So he was Brahmana of the highest order, the direct son of Brahma, very high position. The mind son of Brahma. The mind son. So very high, and I mentioned yesterday that Prabhupada comments that seeing the reaction that Daksha had to get for offending Lord Shiva, that he lost his life, well, he lost his body, and not only that, but then he had to take birth in a womb before he was just appeared as the son of Brahma, as the Brahmana, and didn't have to take a birth like ordinary person in a womb. And that is very traumatic. We were reading about it in New Gokula, about the birth of the living entities, how traumatic it is for both the mother and the child, just being born. Therefore, it's mentioned here, these are the great sufferings of the world, being born. Of course, we're born later in life, we don't remember anything about what the trauma of birth was. And we forget, but as mentioned here, it is a suffering. And when you read that section of the Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Kapila was explaining what is the and that is you don't want to go through that again. A birth in the womb, even in the womb, is not that all cramped up, isn't it? All the scripture is given there. In the womb, tiny little child, the body is growing, and you're in there for a long time. But you forget. Who remembers? And even our childhood, what do we remember? When we're 1 year old, and like these children, you remember what you were doing when you were 6 months old? 1 year old, you remember 1 year old? What were you doing when you were one? You can remember? No. Forgotten. I remember one brother. You know, he was just commenting, he said that, you know, in one sense I have a realization that you take the children when they're growing up, you take them here and there, but they forget everything later in life. So what's the use? It was just observing, a comment in observation. And he actually joked to his daughter at the time. He said, well, I want to go here, Daddy, I want to go there. What's the use? You'll just forget. So, and then growing up, you forget the birth and even your childhood. Of course, sometimes in very traumatic things you remember. You know, just to remember, I remember having an accident on my bicycle and falling out of a tree. So some things you do remember. Seems that the traumatic things you remember more than the pleasure times. So you remember that birth is definitely, and as you grow, of course, it's a birth, and then of course death, another, and then disease. No one likes to be sick, and disease, and then old age. So many things come, so many sufferings are there. So these things are all pervasive sufferings. And as soon as one gets a material body, as I mentioned yesterday and also mentioned today, that these things must be there. But anyway, going back to the point of the intelligence of the Harashvas, how they were so trained, right from the, I was mentioning Vada and Ashram, they were trained as in the Kshatriya family, they would have been trained, and so all this knowledge, and so and living a life in a, more in the mode of goodness, and then now they've been in the Narayana Sara, and going for the bathing in the lake, the holy water of the Narayana Sara, so they become more and more purified. And with the more one gets purified, I was talking yesterday about the tolerance and you know, how Lord Shiva was fixed in his tolerance, because, you know, even though Daksha said so many nasty things against him in the beginning of the Yajna, he just was fixed. And Narad Muni, later on, will read also that that Daksha curses him, also says many bad things. You are, you know, dressing as a saintly person, you are not saintly. He even goes so far as, but I am saintly, but you are not saintly. So he says many bad things, but also mentioned about Narad Muni, that he was fixed in his tolerance. It's not so easy to be fixed in forbearance and tolerance. This takes a lot of purification and intelligence also to develop finer intelligence, mind. One needs to be purified in their activities. One needs to live in the mode of goodness and engage in the spiritual activities. Then gradually, intelligence should become very fine, very discerning, discriminating, able to understand nicely, especially the spiritual subject matters. Spiritual subject matters are subtle, not everyone can understand. Actually, the gross materials can't understand anything on the spiritual subject matters. They cannot, they're covered. Vimudha, actually, Krishna describes them not only as mudhas, but vimudhas. Mudha is like an ass-like person, so a very great ass. Ass is not considered very intelligent. Utkramatam stitambari bunjarambar gunam vimuranamakasanti pasati jnana chakra. One needs the jnana chakra. One needs to see things through the eyes of the knowledge. But someone who is like a mudha, he cannot see. So the materialists, they cannot see anything, but the, of course, in the next verse, it is the jantantra yoginas chana paschantyatnani vashtadhi yatantra kritikatna nainam paschanti jivasa. But the endeavouring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realisation, he can see things very clearly. So we see here that the Hayakras are seen very, very clearly. They understand exactly what is the situation that they've developed. And not only that, we read on that they follow it. They follow this, they understand it, and they follow the instruction of Narad Muni. This is intelligence. Just like it is said that there is first-class disciple, second-class disciple, third-class disciple. There's one description of in the Shastras also, Acharya's explanation. Just like it is said that the first-class disciple, the guru, gives instruction and they understand it and they follow it. And the second-class is the guru gives instruction and then it doesn't follow it. But then realizes he made a mistake, then rectifies, and then follows. This is called second class. Third class is that they don't follow and they keep making the same mistake over and over. This is third class. So there's one story I remember, actually, a very funny story that he's told him as a story of one of Shastra I was read a long time ago about the old guru, very old guru. He wanted to go on the pilgrimage. Actually, this story is called The Foolish Guru and His Foolish Disciples. So it is told like that, that he was very old, he wanted to go on the pilgrimage, so he was very old, too. In those days they would be walking everywhere. So he was very old, so the disciples said, well, the guru, he can't go for walking for so long, so We'll get him we'll get one donkey, and he can sit on, we'll walk, and we'll walk beside, he'll sit on the donkey, and we'll walk behind him, like that. So they arranged like that. So as they were going, Guru was on the donkey, and the disciples were walking, and then it was becoming very hot. So then the Guru said, where's my hat? The disciple said that, Guruji, your hat actually fell off some time ago. And he said, well, why didn't you pick it up? But Guruji, you didn't tell us to pick it up. So the Guru was very angry. You foolish disciples, my hat fell off, and just because I didn't tell you to pick it up, you didn't pick it up. You are so less intelligent disciple. Next time, anything that falls off this donkey, pick it up. So as they were walking, the donkey up, of course, they had to pass through, and he was passing the school. Actually, before that, I have to backtrack a little, because the Guru said, go back and find my hat and pick it up. And so they got the hat, so then he gave that instruction. Anything that falls off, so the disciples saw the stool falling off the donkey. So we have to follow the Guru's instructions. He said to anything that falls off, so they used the hat of the Guru to catch it. Such intelligent disciples. They used the hat to catch it. And so then the Guru, of course, you can know what's coming next. The Guru said, oh, it's very hot, where's my hat? Bring my hat immediately. So the disciples were thinking, looking in the stool and the hat, so they're looking at each other. Will we give him the hat? And what, the stool inside? Well, the Guru said, give him the hat. Now the argument, finally the ones that said, give him the hat won. And so then the disciples went with the hat and put it on the head of the Guru. Of course, what happened? All the Guru went all over the Guru. So actually, this is told by the Acharyas that actually Guru is just foolish to have disciples like that in the first place. Disciple is a reflection of the Guru. And so Prabhupada used to tell us, actually, he said that, don't mind, but just keep in mind that you are my disciple, so whatever you do that reflects on me. So please act just nicely, appropriately. You do something bad, they'll think, oh, who is the guru of these ones? What type of guru he is to have such bad disciples? So, therefore, this story is told like that, the foolish guru and the foolish, even more foolish disciple. So this is less intelligent, and so one should not be like that. And there's a whole story, Guru Bogi and Guru Jagi, and there's another story I want to tell. But so a disciple has to become, so more or less we could say that the Hariashas became the disciples of Narayana. They were listening very intently, and because they were very advanced, their intelligence is very strong. Intelligence. And at the moment, our intelligence, in the mature world, our consciousness is adulterated by the modes of material nature. And our intelligence has become very weak. Very weak, not very strong. Our intelligence is dragged around all over the place by the very strong mind and the stronger senses. It is said, Srottam Chakshush Pasharam Chara Rasanam Vinamirita Vishayamastara Vishayam Upashayate. According to our activities in the previous life, we get another body which is made up of senses. Now, the body varies from one life to the other according to the activities and desires of the living entity. So it is said, Srottam Chara, we get a certain type of ear, certain type of tongue, a certain type of eye. So, different species of life, you know, like the eyes of the crocodile. Have you seen the eyes of the crocodile? Yeah. Huh? He's got different eyes than you, isn't he? One time Prabhupada went to the Hyderabad Zoo, and this little jackal walked through the zoo, so they were always looking. And then they went to the crocodile place. So then as they were looking, one crocodile came across, and he got his eyes, they could see his eyes, they were looking. So Prabhupada said, we are looking at him and thinking, oh, this is a very amazing crocodile. Ooh, look at that crocodile. But he's looking at us and he was thinking, here is lunch. Here is lunch. So everyone has their different view of things according to the body. Now the living entity, formerly, you know, he was in another body. But now he's in the body of the crocodile. He's thinking, I am the crocodile. I have to eat this man. I have to, because I am the crocodile. And, you know, the tiger is thinking, I am the tiger. But before he was the pig. Maybe he was the pig, and another tiger was eating him. And maybe he came back in the next life as the tiger and eating the former one who was the tiger who ate him. This is the karma. So that can be reversed. Sometimes you're the husband, sometimes you're the wife. Because you have to make sure you treat your wife very nicely because she's going to come back as your husband. And treat you also badly. And vice versa. And if the wife treats the husband, then maybe the roles will be reversed in the next life. Sometimes the karma is like that. So the different types of eyes, different types of nose, different types of ears grouped around from the mind. So they are very strong, and their mind is very strong. And so when they're being engaged in the material activities, but because the senses cannot be fully satisfied, then the mind becomes is not fully satisfied. So then it's just looking for more and more avenues to gratify the senses. And so it is dragging the intelligence. Now the senses are wanting to touch, the eyes are wanting to see, ears are wanting to hear that thing, the tongue is wanting to taste, and then they're pulling on the mind, how can we do this? And the mind has the idea, and then when the mind has the idea, it is pushing on the intelligence. All right, I've got so many ideas, the senses are pushing on me, and I've got so many ideas. Now you, intelligence, you have to work out which one of these ideas is the best. So it is working in the reverse. So the senses to the mind, but actually it should be the other way. And it should be really from the soul. Indriyani paranyahu indriyaya paramana manasastu paranyahu yoguri paratasusa. Actually the soul is the highest. And when the soul is developed, then the intelligence becomes purified and the intelligence controls the mind, which controls the senses. And so everything becomes going very nice. Then you can go in a nice direction. But if your senses are pulling, then you're going in so many directions. You don't know. You're changing directions all the time. What are you doing now? Weren't you doing? Weren't you working on? Oh no, no, that was last year. Now this. Now I'm doing this. And then you see again next year. Are you still doing that? No. Now I'm doing like this. Now I'm doing like that. Are you still going to that? But no. Now I'm doing like that. You're always changing the direction. Must. Because the senses are just pulling everywhere. So the materialist is a very unfortunate situation. He is struggling. As it was struggling with the mind and the senses. It is very difficult. There's another verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So many verses we can quote there. This is a very basic understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Narad Muni was presenting this to the Hayashras. Here it is mentioned as starting with the word bhu, means that the field of activities, or the field of activities is our own material body, starting with that, and then that gets expanded to other bodies, to other areas. But the field of the soul is in the body, and it has a different field. That's the field of our activities in the body. So this is what is meant by the field of activities as Narada Muni has given. So the Hayashras, they understood these things. And very nicely, and they've got a nice guru giving nice instructions in the person of Narada Muni. transportation and back to this department on this year, so the district manager for Larry Bars. Now, unfortunately, people are being directed by so many others who also really don't know anything about spiritual life. And there's one verse in the Bhagavatam that says that such persons are like boarding a stone boat. You know, a stone boat that would may look good, but if you board a stone boat that's not really nicely prepared, a stone boat would sink. So someone may lead you onto a stone boat and you may think it's a very nice boat to go on. But if you go on it, then you go out to the water and they're sinking. So people, because they're not they don't have the developed knowledge themselves, are following others, and then the others are following them. So it's the blind leading the blind. That's an unfortunate situation. The blind leading the blind. And so therefore it is said that this is the ignorance, and the leaders of the world are in ignorance, and the those who follow them are and also in ignorance. And one ignorant person leading another ignorant person. So what is the use of all that? Of course, they don't know these things, and they're just thinking that it's all very good. All very good. So many things are going on that they don't want to go on, but they're going on, but they're out of their control. But they have no other alternative. They can't think of these things. As I said, Ukram and Tamsinam, the Vibundinam, Vimudanam, Pasigan, and Chakshusha, that it's very inauspicious. Now, in this particular purport, Prabhupada actually comments to this verse that without proper knowledge, one cannot understand how anything about the living entity, how the living entity goes from one body to the other body, nor can they understand why he's in a particular body right now. This takes a lot of knowledge from books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says this takes a lot of knowledge. You have to read Bhagavad Gita especially and Srimad Bhagavatam. But one who is trained to perceive these things is very important. So training is required. Prabhupada used to always say, I am training you. Now you are not trained, but I am training you how to understand these things. Training. Now, when one is not trained to understand this, just like, you know, anyone who goes to school is trained to understand certain things. Before he didn't know. And now he knows because he's had the training. So when you get the training in transmitted knowledge, then you can understand what is the suffering, and you can understand how to get out of the suffering. Now, Prabhupada said that one should come to this position, one should come to understanding that we need to get out of it. People don't even understand that part. But as I mentioned, Yatanto Jogina's chain in this verse, that those on the path of the self-realization, they understand, their minds are developed, their intelligence is developed, their spiritual consciousness is developed. They are situated on the path of self-realization very nicely, following the shastras, following the rules, following the sadhus. So they go very nicely on the path. Now here Prabhupada says that there are many people who present the material life, how to go on the material life, and there are some who present how to go on the spiritual path, but one has to be very cautious before accepting just anything and anyone giving instruction on that. One has to be educated a little bit properly right from the beginning of life, what is actual genuine spiritual life. So if one becomes very fortunate, very fortunate, and gets this type of education, gets this type of knowledge, then you will understand things very, very nicely. So we know there's one famous verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tamna Sandashito, Datta Dushtara Nishtitishu, Tam Kalim Sattva Haram Kumsam Kama Dara Ivarnava. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of the human being. So this is the sages of Namakrani who are speaking to Sutta Gautami. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence. So if one is fortunate enough to get the good guru, bona fide guru, the will of Providence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the captain of the ship. The captain is steering the ship, guiding the ship, because there's a big ocean, the ocean of Kali. This ocean of Kali deteriorates the good qualities of human beings. We have met the good captain, we can go over. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions or comments in regard to these verses today? Yes?
When you said that we always have to be in the mode of goodness, like how do we get into goodness and what is the process?
And what is?
The process to get
into goodness. The process. Very good question. Yes, how do we get in the mode of goodness? Now, in the material life, we're in the mode of ignorance. Just like the dog. The dog, that's barking. What does the dog know in spiritual life? You don't see many dogs coming from Bhagavatam. Like, even if you bring them, they'll just come. They cannot sit and listen, is it? You try to get the dog to sit and listen, he can't. He's in the mode of ignorance. But people are living like that, unfortunately. But how to get out? Then you need good guidance, as I said. From the good captain of the ship, as I said. The good guru. The guru can come. Oh, this is the way. This is how you get out of that. And then by the chanting, by the association of the devotees, by seeing Krishna, you see Krishna. You hear the Bhagavatam, isn't it? All these things together. You have to do all these things. Now, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Parasevanam, Achanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakkamam, Nivedanam. You know that. Vladimir said, all these processes. But actually, Deva Goswami, he says, of these things, the Kirtanam is the most important. We just put in the class in Canberra in the first book of my emphasis. Deva Goswami says, Kirtanam, all these things should be done. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, all these things. And this is the process. Of them, kirtan is very, very important. Along with all the other things, not that you shouldn't do the other, you should also do that, but chanting, very important. So, proceeding. Therefore, Prabhupada actually commented in that purport we read when I was in Canberra, I was reading, that he said, preceding everything we want to have kirtan. And just like if someone there's yajna, preceding should be kirtan. During should be kirtan. And after should be kirtan. So all the acharyas say that. So kirtan is very important. All the processes. This is Bhagavad Marg. We follow a combination. Bhagavad Marg, Panchapriti Marg. Both together. These things go together. So this is the path given by our acharyas. Bhagavad Marg means Ravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Parasivana, and so on, the nine processes. And Panchapriti, you are there, worshipping the deity. Regulations to follow. This is country. But together, and this is the process, doing all these things. So following the guru, following the great sadhus, following the shastra, and doing all these things, and then we can come to the goodness. Then we will be in the goodness. Very good question. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is, in this text, I'm not really seeing
in Vrindavan we see many
devotees that are grihasthas.
Grihasthas.
And they're doing devotional
service
can
be able
to
go back to
God. So then why
Narayan
Muni tell
the sons of
Daksha to
be? Oh, why Narayan Muni said that don't be grihastha.
Yeah.
And you should be like brahmachari. Why he said like that? Well, because he saw these boys, they were very, very high in their consciousness, and there was a possibility if they become in the grihastha, they become entangled. Now, some grihastas, like you saw in Vrindavan, they're very, very good. But not all grihastas, if they're grihastas, they'll be good. Maybe someone will become like Grihamati, means very materialistic grihastha. So the possibility was like that. So Naraguri thought, well, why take chance? Maybe you'll be good grihastha, or maybe you will be a possibility you won't be good. So now you're very high, so why take chance? Just go directly. So that was his thinking like that. Do you understand? Is it? Do you want me to explain some more? Is all right? Thank you. Yes.
Maharaj, here in the translation, it says that Thayashas considered this with natural intelligence.
Yes.
And in this one go, they could understand the whole thing very clearly. But we don't have the natural intelligence.
Yes, unfortunately. We don't have the natural. Ours has become unnatural by the contamination of the mud. So they were very much in the mud of good. And also because of that, going there to the Narayana Thas and then bathing and doing the tapasya and everything. So their natural intelligence, well, everyone has natural intelligence. It shines through when the soul is pure, but it just comes through very strongly. Anyway, what's the last part?
Yes,
you have to purify yourself. Purify yourself. You have to purify yourself under the guidance of the guru and the shastra and the sadhu, and then the natural intelligence automatically comes. Don't try extraneously for these things. That naturally, therefore it's called natural. Naturally, by following the process of Krishna consciousness, your natural intelligence will come through. And no need for other methods. Just have faith in chanting. Thank you. Okay, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gopananda Hari Chandra.